Thanks for being faithful and coming out to worship on a really cold day. It was frigid. And it looks beautiful out there with the sunshine. Just to share bits of inspiration, we do have a gal here who's in her 80s, recovering from a broken hip. Okay, and she's here and went through the snow and ice, and appreciate their faithfulness. At 8:30, we had somebody here. One of our members happens to live in Monroeville and came trucking across the turnpike or Route 30 to get here. Just sometimes when I'm cold in the morning and it's dark and you wake up, you think, well, should I come to worship or not? It's good to remember the, folks can get here with the Lord's help. And if you ever need a ride, call the church and leave a message. We'll send Mike to come get you right there. Last week in Sunday school, Mike Salvi asked the class a very good question. It was really thought-provoking. And it did address you and I as God's people in the following ways. We are love letters from Christ. It's part of who we are. God makes us that way. We can't make ourselves that way. We are ambassadors for Christ, and we are fishers of men. And he asked the question, why do you share Christ with others? Why do you share Christ with others? You do that by the way you live and by what you say. And these are some of the motives that people gave. I thought they were great responses. One said, we do that, we share Christ with others because Jesus commands us to do that. That's the Great Commission. So we want to obey God because we love Him. Another person said, heaven and hell are at stake. That's true. Another person said, somebody told me the good news. So they want to be fair and pass it on. Somebody said, because the Lord changed my life. And anything that changes your life, you normally speak about. Someone said, it's the best gift you can give another person. How true that is. Another person said, I can't help it. I love to talk about my loved ones. And if the Apostle Paul were speaking, he'd think of Christ's greatness and he would say, for example, in 2 Corinthians, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. So Paul would do it out of thankfulness, the indescribable gift of Christ. Thanks be to God for that. I want to pass Him on in some manner with integrity, not by compulsion, but because of an inward desire and what the Lord means to us. And you think about the value that everybody in this room has to the Lord and everybody who the Lord created, all the people of the world, the value they have to Jesus. What is the value of one person or one soul according to Jesus? If you go and purchase something, I want to buy a pair of shoes, I say, how much does it cost and how long will they last? And so that's what I want to know. And so when we think about one person or a soul, how much does it cost? One soul. Well, what's the value of that? Well, the cost is Jesus dying on the cross for that one. It's a cost that can't be estimated. It's priceless. It's precious that God's Son should say, I'll substitute for that one. And Jesus talked about one soul. He said, what profits a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? Or one soul is lost. If you think about the things in the world that are really great, we get excited about. Put all the buildings together, put all the houses together, cars, human accomplishments. And you put one soul. Which has more value? God says it's one. More valuable than the whole world. And so what's the cost? It can't be estimated. How long? How long does it last? How long does one soul last? When I buy clothing, my family kind of pokes fun at me. I'll wear something until it's virtually falling off. You know, I have sweatshirts that are, I think, 18 years old. Fit really well. How long does one soul last? Forever, the Bible tells us. In heaven or in hell. Very, very valuable. More valuable than diamonds. Or gold, or silver, or your 57 Chevy. One soul lasts forever, a long time. And so Jesus puts great value on it. And he has a mission, he says, to seek and to save whatever soul is lost. You might be here today and say, I feel like I'm lost. I don't know God. Church is okay sometimes. I pray sometimes God answers, sometimes no. I don't know what to believe. God would say, I'll come for you. He'd invite you, come to me. Find rest for your soul. In the last 50 years, Billy Graham has had a ministry that has asked people like you and I to reach out to people around us and love them and tell them about Christ in some manner. He called that Andrew Team Ministry. Andrew Ministry. After the Bible character that we read about today, Andrew, one of the followers of Jesus. And Billy Graham says, you and I, no matter at what level of following Jesus we are, we can be like Andrew was. Anybody can be this way with the Lord's help. And so what did Andrew do? First, he was a follower of Jesus himself. He turned to Christ, and the Bible says he spent the whole day with Jesus. And Jesus invited him, come and see where I am. So Andrew, you might say that was Andrew's turnaround in his life, conversion time. If you need a conversion time with the Lord, he can change your life. He really will. And he'll do it with grace and truth and mercy. So Andrew's life has changed, spends the day with Jesus. And then God's word says one of the first things he did was go and find somebody else who thought, wow, I think the Lord can bless him. And it happened to be his brother, Simon Peter. And he went and told Simon Peter, we have found the Messiah. And the Bible says, Andrew went and brought him to Jesus. He simply came to introduce him to Christ. And Peter's life began to be changed. And what a great thing. And our call this morning is to put ourselves in Andrew's shoes and walk like that with God's help. To make a commitment to, in your lifestyle, Andrew Ministry, where you have people in your life, you say, I think they would be blessed by Christ, and I don't think they know Christ yet. And so you're the one to be Andrew to them. And God will do that through your personality and through the way you treat them and what you say. I know in my life, when I think of other people who don't know the Lord, who aren't Christian, and I pray for them and intentionally reach out to them, something happens to me in my walk with God. You might say spiritual adrenaline starts to get higher and stronger in my life. I feel like I have a good purpose in what I'm doing. All of a sudden, I'm praying more because I'm praying for the people. I'm praying for myself to walk in God's way. All of a sudden, I'm obeying God more. Because if I'm going to tell them about the Lord, my life better be pointing in the right direction. Okay, all kind of things happen when we decide to obey God and be like Andrew was. There's times in my life where I'm not like Andrew. I say, my problems are my problems. I don't have time for anybody else. Me, myself, and I. When I do that, and when I don't show concern for others, I pray less. I get selfish. I disobey God more. I don't look in God's word for help. I become that one sin affects the other areas of my life. And so, if we could be like Andrew with God's help, let God's Spirit speak to you. You know, you can walk in this manner. How can you put it into practice? Just a couple things to take to heart, and it's in that insert that maybe you can keep as a Bible marker or write some names down in your Bible for people you pray for on a regular basis. But the first thing is prayer. We look up. We say, Lord, I need help if I'm going to be like Andrew. We look up and we pray. God starts at the heart in our prayer life. Jesus looked at the crowd, for example, in Scripture, and he had compassion on them. Do you have compassion for people around you that you see in school, at the shopping center, that you see on TV? You know, and your response might be, look at that sin, and look at this, and this is bad, and look at this. And all that might be true, but do you have compassion on the people that you see all over the place? Jesus looked at the crowds, he had compassion. So the first thing we do, we pray, we look up. And we're moved emotionally by concern for others. That's what compassion is. If you have compassion for somebody, you go and your heart goes out to them. In Psalm 126, it says, the one who sows seed with weeping will experience joy. That means you really are concerned about somebody, even to the point of crying physically or inside for them. You might think in your life, what have you cried about? We have crying in the distance here, providentially. Who do you cry about? Sometimes you would cry for yourself, you get hurt, cry for a closest loved one. The Lord would cry for any heart that's not at peace with Him. And you might think in your own life, when have you wept for somebody else in terms of the health of their soul? God can give you a heart like that and say, oh my, you know, I really want that person to know God and be at peace with God and have their life go in the right direction. And someone said, don't be a tearless Christian in a hell-bound world. You know, that would be a sad commentary. Don't be a tearless Christian in a hell-bound world. And the difficulty of the task, we look up and we pray. We ask for help. I know of a great preacher, John Guest. Some of you may listen to him on the radio. He's a wonderful pastor, but also the strength of his life is evangelism. He considers himself an evangelist. And he has said this. Listen to this, because sometimes this is where our heart is. He said, when it comes to evangelism, even though he loves to tell others about Christ, there's a part of him that would almost rather do anything else than be like Andrew. He would rather go to worship services. He would rather read his Bible. He'd rather go to another prayer time. Whatever. Go visit the person in the hospital. Then tell others about Christ, because he knows if he decides to tell somebody else about Christ, he's laying his heart on the line in 100% transparency. This is the most important one to me, and he's the one who determines whether I go to heaven or hell. And the importance of saying, Lord, if we're going to be like Andrew, we certainly need your help. Or otherwise, we're just going to huddle together here until the evil world goes away. And it's not going to happen. And Andrew went and brought his brother to the Lord. So you look up and then you look around. Who would God lead you to? Who are people you know who need the Lord? Jesus said, open your eyes, for the harvest is ripe. People who think about people outside the church say, you might have 5 to 8 friends. Pastor Bill Wood taught about this for years in a faithful way. Mike Salvi loves to do this. You pray for people, and supposedly 1 out of every 5 people that you know who doesn't know the Lord is open to Christ. 1 out of every 5. And no one's ever proved that wrong. Well, I went to talk to 5 people and they all said, hit the road. But if you would pray for people faithfully, you look around and then look out. This is the action part. This is often where the part breaks down for me. I pray for 3 years and then finally I would go and connect with somebody. Just my slowness. When I asked my wife to marry me, I may have shared this story. I was pretty much ready a year before, but I waited a year. I prayed for a year. Make sure I do the right thing. And we actually went to look at rings, wedding rings, before I asked. And the salesman said, well, what do you think of that one? And I said, I don't think I'm ready to make a commitment about that ring. And he said, you don't have to make a commitment to me. You have to make a commitment to her. And Jesus has made a commitment to the people in your life. He's made a commitment to the people in your life. So he says, how about your heart too? And to love people where they're at, not where you wish them to be. I wish the Lord would teach us that in all our relationships. Love people where they are at, not where you wish them to be. love yourself with God's love where you are, not where you wish you will be. Otherwise, you'll be miserable till you get to heaven. So looking out for others, taking action on their behalf, doing a kind act on behalf of them. Someone, a dear couple, shared that every Christmas morning they go and take a meal to somebody who's going through a trial. Just a way, that's reach out, show kindness, just because of God's love in their life. Christ makes a commitment to reach your lost friend. And as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, says in Galatians 6, verse 10. So Andrew wanted to give Peter a really good gift. He brought him to Jesus. And then anticipate inviting people to church. I love our worship services. I always feel close to the Lord, you know, when I'm here, my attitude's half decent. Usually, if it's not, it's me. Can't blame it on anything else. But I think it's a holy time when God people gather, and it's good to invite to special events. But please don't wait until the Easter cantata to invite somebody to church. Oh, I'm off duty until Easter. You know, you and I have 52 opportunities every year to invite somebody to a service where Christ is there, where he's spoken to in prayer, where he speaks to people in the Bible. And God works. And share the gospel with people, just in your own life. If you don't know what to share, share John 3:16. I've shared before, for God so loved the world, God loves you and your friend, that he gave his one and only son, the cross. Jesus died on the cross for your friend, that whoever believes in him, faith, somebody had an acrostic in Sunday school, faith, forsaking, I take him or trust him, whoever would believe in him, thank you, might not perish but have eternal life, have assurance, and then look after folks, keep loving folks. As you pray for, you say, okay, God, these five people, I'm going to write their names down and pray for them daily. Just be a Christian friend of them. We lack genuine friendships in the world. God can heal that for us. And it would be great if some of your best friends were outside the church, so you can actually make it be a blessing to others. And when that person you prayed for comes to trust Christ, you think about this. I think it's very, very important for us believers, veteran believers. Who is the best person to lead that new believer and to disciple that new believer? Who's the best one? Is it the guy sitting across the church? No, it's you. It's you, man. You're the one he knows. Guy or gal. And so you're the best example. He's going to know and follow. You say, well, my life's not too good. I bet. Well, then you could ask God to straighten your life out. So discipleship can take place effectively. You're going to send them to another group? What are you going to do? But to look after. Remember what Jesus said, and this brings conviction to my own heart. Because this is an area where my heart is 100% for sharing Christ, and my actions are, you know, I fight hard to do it 30% of the time. Remember what Jesus said. He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. The conclusion we'd have to draw was this. If I'm not a fisher of men, then I'm not following Jesus. That's logic. If I'm not a fisher of men, I simply am not following Jesus. So I know what to do about that. Turn from my sin and turn to Christ. Say, Lord, help me follow you. And God can change us. Why do we do that? Because heaven and hell are at stake. Because it is the best gift we can give to another. Because the Lord said, go. Because we say, well, he changed my life. I wanted to have just a quiet time of thought, prayer, and commitment. as Virginia's going to play Amazing Grace for just a little bit. And can you think of in your heart, well, I think God can use me this way in my life. And, you know, you keep the insert, you put it in your Bible, make a change for the year, for your life, with God's help. And every once in a while ask one another, hey, how's that Andrew ministry going? Andrew ministry, I'm not in that one. Oh, yeah, you are. How's the Andrew ministry going? It's going good. You'd be able to share. And if you need peace with God, turn to Him. He loves you. Christ would change your life with His help and healing and determination. He's determined for you today. Well, let's quietly pray as Virginia plays.